The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adelaide Marvin thought with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
So, is AEW going to cash in on this podcast? Can they cash in, please?
Wild card rule.
Yep,
is Devin coming on this podcast? Is Mo going to, are we changing what we're going to do? Are you going to, you're going to break down the draft tomorrow, the NBA draft lottery, right?
You can
on our
shoot
NBA podcast.
That's
yeah. You're gonna talk about Zion and maybe Zion going back to Duke and what's gonna go on there, right? You're gonna break it down, and then I'm gonna go on and.
Here's my two cents on that. Just because a team that you don't want to play wins the draft lottery doesn't mean you should return to your school. And if this is your draft year and you're gonna get drafted, too bad. Got to go be a Pelican for a bit.
I think he's going to be fine. I think the talking heads over-exaggerate things a little bit much.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we are with that. But it was funny, just kind of rounding it back into combat sports, just seeing Ariels and then Rosenberg and seeing their faces. Did you see that?
Yes, yes.
I felt bad for Ariel and not for Rosenberg.
And we don't feel bad for Rosenberg for many reasons.
Does he even have a wrestling podcast anymore?
I don't know. He hasn't been on. Was he on the pre-show for WrestleMania?
I don't think so. No, he wasn't. It was just Sam.
Oh, that must have been nice and relaxing.
Yeah, it's been a lot of Sam Roberts. I mean, WWE has these podcasts coming, right? I guess we can kind of hit on that. Wasn't in our plans, but like with the we kind of didn't get to talk much about that last week with the new network tiers coming and everything that. They're going to have podcasts coming. I wonder if he'll have his own podcast. My guess is Renee's going to have one. Maybe Pritchard will have one, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Corey Graves.
Corey
Don't
Graves
have
will have
Comrade
one.
Comrade on there, though.
No. I'm guessing maybe Ziggler might have one if he's still with the company. Do we know what's going on with Ziggler?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that'd be my best guess. And then... the network with the tiers. I don't know. Did you really quickly talk about the network just because we kind of have some stumble talk for you? Did you see the Brett stuff?
I did a bit. I think they did a good job. The only complaint that I've heard is they didn't have any of the talk after the match and what it did for Brett and for Tom. Like, just seeing clips of that Tom McGee, he seemed very athletic. Like that, I feel like he would have flourished under a performance center and just being able to learn and grow.
But he got to learn under Brett. That's not a bad way to learn.
That's an incredible tree.
So, that happened this week. I haven't seen the documentary. I haven't seen really anything outside of a few YouTube videos this week. So, let's talk about how bad the writers are in state right now with this company. Wade Keller, you and I aren't particularly bigger fans of, but there was a big article that was put out. One of the things that was kind of started with this whole thing was a tweet that Vince that Triple H liked about Vince McMahon, and just to read that tweet, I truly believe if WWE talent can hang in there till Vince switches to his XFL pipe dream next year. Assuming Hunter switches to the main roster, things will actually improve its actual ways. But a hard reset post-Fox will help do things and do wonders. Triple H liked that, and then later it was unliked. And then we got to hear a lot about the writers. So really quickly, just on that first Triple H thing, the one thing you kind of get in here is a lot of frustration by Hunter.
Yeah, and his NXT kids.
So the next part we have is WWE are not the fault WWE's problems are not the fault of the writers. No one should rip on WWE creative. They have some of the most unbelievable, brilliant, cool ideas, but it really doesn't seem to get past Vince. So more or less, they come up with these ideas, and Vince just changes them already. So at that point, it's kind of like, well, what's the point of the writers?
Yeah, you don't need a writer's team anymore.
So that's unfortunate for them. The most frustration comes again, we talked about Hunter, with his NXT guys. He looks to console them every single night. And we've kind of talked this in the past, too, with Ciampa, which his second video came on today. I haven't got a chance to see it yet. I'm sure it's great. But it seems like Hunter, there's guys in NXT that do not want to come to the main roster now. Ciampa was one of those guys because NXT is their brand that they built, and they know for fear of going to the main roster that it's a complete reset on what it NXT doesn't matter. We're going to get to that part in a second, but NXT just does not matter to Vince.
No, and I think it said in the article, he may catch the occasional takeover, but he doesn't really care.
No. I don't think he doesn't care, and we've seen that in the past month with I haven't seen the product fully, watching a full Raw or SmackDown. Are they still what are they now, Joel? Are they the War Vikings, the Viking Raiders?
I have no idea. Right? I think that's when I really started to check out, was when that name change kept flip-flopping around.
Yeah. Post-Mania, it's been bad. It's probably the worst the company's been in shape for a while.
Yeah, you look at it, you have all this money coming in, but creatively, it feels like it's dying in a lot of ways, and it feels like the good parts that are there on the product are being overshadowed by a lot of negativity.
And it reminds me, negativity. Yeah, it reminds me when you see those documentaries and they go like, what happened and what went wrong when they failed as a company, and you can just see like the icy hot in the revival shorts and the back shaving and Baron Corbin as things they would show of what went wrong.
Well, I think one of the things that has gone wrong for WWE is based on all these accounts. And I mean, no one's been behind the locker room, so you can really confirm anything, but it sounds like but the one thing you keep hearing is backstage in WWE, even back in the 90s from Brett and from others, it sounds like there's a very much a high school mentality, and it's a toxic work environment. And while that's worked for some points, I think that we're finally seeing those chickens come to roost. And I think we're seeing the impacts of this negative bullying-like mindset. Like, there's the report that one of the writers for WWE had won a daytime Emmy for, I believe it was a documentary series, and she brought her Emmy with her. And she got serious, serious heat from higher-ups because WWE's never won an Emmy. They've never gotten that. So her having the Emmy with her apparently ruffled some feather. Not Vince. Apparently Vince just laughed it off. But there were other people that were upset, and that kind of was looked down upon on her as a writer for having an Emmy, winning an award and being proud of it.
I think that's the thing, that you kind of just look at this company and it's just so much childish stuff with the company.
Yep.
That you're just like, I can't believe like what this company does with the childish factors that they have. And more with this article, this is going to lead to a bigger discussion, but it's something that personally pushed me away. I think it's pushed you away too, was the wild card rule was not in the script in the morning of the show. And that's something, since that happened, because I had been up and down and watching Raw at that point, post-Mania. I would still occasionally tune in live. I would watch every YouTube show, or I'd listen to like a recap and review of Raw. I've even listened to like Meltzer or Post Wrestling even. I've just been checked out completely other than watching Being the Elite. As soon as that wildcard rule happened, I was checked out because it just showed to me, and you can tell by it not being the script, it just showed me a lack of direction for this company. And we're just going to throw everything at the wall because the ratings matter, but our writing and our product doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. It feels like this is a company that, you know, has turned 65 and now they're collecting their pension.
Great point, Joel.
It's at a point where it's like, yeah, no, we got the big paydays. We'll go to Saudi again. where Goldberg and The Undertaker will wrestle in a dream clash.
Yeah.
It's not 20 years past its due date, right?
Even if it was, does it matter? I guess it would have.
Yeah, I think that would have been a big deal. You tell someone that in 99 or 98 that you're going to have Taker versus Goldberg, I think people would have been like, holy crap.
Yeah, it would have been a big deal. But now it's just kind of like, cool, guys.
I get to see the legacy of The Undertaker go up in flames just one more time.
Yeah.
And how long before the Prince asked for Hogan versus Cena?
Next show?
Probably.
And Hogan will do it. Would Cena do it? Cena won't.
I don't think Cena will.
Who will? How much money do you think it would take Cena to do it?
I don't know, because I think his budding movie career is more important than any paycheck right now.
Does he have a studio contract, do we know?
I don't think so.
Because remember when The Rock had like a studio contract there for a bit?
Yeah, I don't think Cena's... I'm interested to see what Cena's movie career does, but I just don't think Cena's going to touch Saudi Arabia anytime soon.
No. Yeah, so the wild card rule, I mean, it's funny with the wild card rule, because we're going to talk about this Money in the Bank card. You're like, the pre-show is Bryan and Rowe versus the Usos. I'm like, aren't the Usos on Raw?
I don't know anymore.
I was just like, what the hell? Didn't the Usos just lose the SmackDown titles? Wouldn't you want a SmackDown team still to go for those titles? Do you think by SummerSlam there will be a brand split officially anymore?
I've heard mixed things. I've heard that Fox and USA want the brand split, but both of them want the top stars. So, see, this is the thing that not a lot of people talked about. We talked about this in the earlier podcast this week on the AEW podcast that we did. I really feel like WWE, this is one of the things that's hurting WWE, is Fox is tugging on an arm, the USA is tugging on an arm, and I feel like they're trying to keep these both companies that paid a lot of money for your product to be on, you're trying to keep them happy, and it just... it's a struggle because you're trying to balance so many things and you're such a massive company that this is a big deal right now. And I feel like this is creating a chink in WWE's armor. It's because
it absolutely is. I feel so silly that we never really paid enough attention to it. We kind of just like, oh yeah, you know, it is what it is, whatever. We never paid enough attention to it being a bigger problem, and it obviously is, of them having to pay the Piper. So we did kind of talk about, like, well, one person's going to want, like, Roman, or one person's going to want Ronda if she comes back. We never realized the circumstances as how big it could really get as now it gets closer and closer.
Yeah.
I mean, we're almost into June. Like, we're not that far away from this.
No, I think you're starting to see the impacts. Like, there's pressure on WWE to turn around the product. That's why this wild card rule is in effect now. And I mean, here's the thing, and like, to be a little bit positive, you look at what's generated the most buzz for WWE, and it's a guy that we both thought was dead in the water, and that's Bray Wyatt. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Yowie Wowie?
Yowie Wowie! Yeah.
Oh, man, I hope that the reveal of the mask aren't the end, and we get more Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had her like 2 weeks ago. Like, this whole thing was just going to be done. So luckily, it's not just completely done now.
I think it's the best thing WWE's done. I love it.
Well, it works because it's so organic, and they just kind of let Bray do what he works for him, right?
Yeah, and like the attention to detail and everything that they have, and just that, like, that mask is so creepy. It's great. Like, it reminds me of the Joker. You know, the Joker, when his face was when he reattached his face in the comics. It reminds me of that, and I really feel like that was inspiration for this. And I just feel like this is... I feel like Bray looks... How can I put this? He looks a little more leaner. Like, he looks in really good shape, so I'm really interested to see this refreshed Bray Wyatt. And it seems like he's trying to play this good guy. Like, he sent a tweet out to Seth and Roman saying, "Hey, I know I did some really awful things, and I've been appropriately punished for what I did. So I'm apologizing, and if you ever need a third member of the Shield, I'm right there." Bray Wyatt is one of the better parts of Raw, and when you watch his clips on YouTube and you see these videos, it goes back to Daniel Bryan. You see and feel the passion, and you feel the passion for what he's doing. And in that Wade Keller podcast where they were talking about behind the scenes, they talked about Bray being this being Bray's baby, and Bray being a locker room leader in a lot of ways and helping out with promos. And that's guys that you need, because you may be going to war here in a couple years with All Elite Wrestling, and you don't want to drive these guys away. You need good soldiers that are going to be there. You need this new version of The Undertaker and guys that just won't leave and abandon you. So this is a big deal. I'm not saying that AEW is going to get to the point that the war is actually going to happen, but you almost have to treat it like there is a war coming, that there is the invading army, that Daenerys and the dragon is coming for you, and you got to be ready for it.
You're going to burn down the city. They really are. It's funny, too, because it's, you shouldn't get to a situation, too, where you have someone or something that you're like, "I'm very excited about this." And then you're like, "How are they going to fuck it up?" It's no different than seeing someone in NXT and enjoying them, but then you're like, "Oh, they're going to fuck this up eventually." Like we had seen with Ricochet, or with inevitably Adam Cole, or Johnny, or Ciampa, who's even admitted like he knows he's going to be fucked up on the main roster. That's the problem at times with this company. It's like, I'm enjoying this Bray thing, but how long till they step over their boundaries and fuck this up and make us hate it?
Like, you look at Woken Matt Hardy. That died. That died completely. It's like, why didn't you let this have more likes to it? Just because, and like the thing is, you go back to that. I'll never forget Cole burying the thing even before it aired. And according to Wade Keller, Vince is on the announcers line for line.
Daniel Bryan, when he first came in, he wins that first heavyweight championship. What a nerd! What a geek! It's like, so why am I supposed to care about this guy when your announcers are talking so much shit about him? There's being a heel announcer, and then they're just bombarding us with negative comments on that participant.
It's an example. You're not giving your talent a chance to really shine. Like, you're
absolutely not.
You. I'm looking at the Money in the Bank card right now, and like, Bray's not on there, but Bray's gonna get buried. They're gonna be like, "Oh, this weird, creepy thing." It's not gonna be taken as like, this guy is a psych. It's not gonna be like Kane or The Undertaker, where this is a legitimate killer in ring that is gonna hurt you and hurt you psychologically. It's gonna be, "Oh, this weirdo running around in this creepy mask with kids, yep, this kid show."
And he has puppets, and they're going to talk about the puppets in it. Yeah, like you're saying, like, you're like, this guy is sick and demonic, and like, kind of like you talked about Mankind when you first saw Mankind.
Yeah.
It's crazy, too, because when Bray had that character originally in NXT, when it came to the main roster, we were all in. And it kind of started pretty badly with the SummerSlam match with Kane. And he's got a thing that you normally don't get. You get a second wind at a gimmick,
yeah,
for someone. If anything, it's just made us realize how talented Bray Wyatt is as a performer and as a mind in the wrestling business. And if they waste him, that's a guy that can go to AEW and be able to live the fulfillment of his wrestling genius, of this character now, right? He's recycled what he's been able to do, and he's used it great. It's just, don't fuck it up, because it's something that people really, you can build this to WrestleMania on a platform, SummerSlam, of a character that people want to get behind. People were behind him with the Fireflies and everything. When he won the title, people were like really generally happy for Bray Wyatt. Like, this is the former WWE champion.
Yeah, and you forget about it, because all you remember is worms on the ring for Randy and Bray.
And the penis shaped thing that Randy came out on.
Yeah.
Or sperm. Sperm. It looked like a sperm.
See, and that's a thing, and that's... You do... I wonder... And I saw a comment on Reddit, and it made me think... You remember how Vince got burned by Rocky, or he felt like he got burned by Rocky when Rocky went Hollywood, and he poured everything into Rocky, and Rocky was his big star. Do you think from that point onward, coupled with not having to compete with anyone, they just really... Vince has been gun-shy about fully backing someone?
Punk, too. I think Punk was the last straw, too.
Do you think that there's the little voice in Vince's head where he's like, I don't know how much I want to pour into this guy because he may screw me over?
If that is the case, and I don't know if it is or not, but if that is the case, that's just silly. If you have a hot angle, go with it. And it we've seen it over the past year. Becky's done. Kofi's done.
I don't know if Becky's done. Because the UK
Becky crowd... gained a little more steam this week. She did a little bit better this week. But Kofi... sure.
Like it's none of our business, but it came out that Becky's in a relationship with Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. And that generated a lot of interest. But the other thing, that whole the nucleus of it was the tweets between Edge, Beth Phoenix, and Becky. It feels like Becky's trying to build her own angles now. It feels like Becky's
trying... Yeah, well, she should face Beth.
Yeah, yeah. It's another blonde-haired woman, so it's okay. It'll fit Vince's mold.
Yeah, and it's not Charlotte, but I think Charlotte's going to win the title, but we'll talk about that later. I think that could be really good. The Becky stuff, I think, has been fine. It's definitely cooled down. For you, that Kofi moment will always be one of the biggest moments, just another wrestling fan, I'm sure, of your life, getting to witness that electricity when Kofi won. But has it lived up to, like, is it kind of what Mo talked about with Garvin, with Rodney Garvin?
Here's my thing with Kofi is you threw him up against Kevin Owens. You needed, I think the next program for Kofi should have been Randy Orton.
Right.
Exercise that last demon, a legitimate threat. You didn't give, because KO has been cooled off considerably, you didn't give Kofi a legitimate threat that Kofi could defeat and overcome, and then you're like, yes, we are, he beat Brian, and now he's beating a guy like Randy Orton. So this was a legitimate threat that Kofi beat. You didn't build Kofi up. You threw him in against a very cool KO, and KO has said himself he wish he stayed babyface longer. It's another example of
going. Well, okay, we talked about the KO New Day thing. We were like, this is so great. Why are we just rushing it?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And like, you could have easily built that up, and you could have had like. I wouldn't have done it, but you could have had Kofi in trouble and KO come out with a chair, and then he whacks Randy. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, he is a redeemed Kevin Owens. And then you made that dagger mean that much more, a la Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. And that could have been a big program for Kofi. But it goes back to Rey Mysterio having the title. I'll put the title on him, but he's not my champion. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Kofi. I'll put the title on him, but he's not my champion. You're not giving him a chance to be legitimate. You're not.
Or I'll put Shinsuke Nakamura against AJ Styles, but it's not going to be a good match because I won't let it be a good match just to prove a fucking point.
Yeah, and it's. I feel like they didn't give Kofi a chance. Like, if Kofi kind of fizzled out, like, if they had a legitimate kind of killer program with Kofi where it felt like he was in legitimate threat, then it'd been like, okay, maybe this Kofi thing didn't work. But I feel like they didn't, from the word go, they haven't given Kofi a chance to look the part of world champion, to fully have that feeling of world champion, and I don't think Kofi ever will. So you can draw the comparison to Garvin, but I also think there's a point where you have failed as a wrestling booker, where you haven't given these guys that extra oomph where you're fully behind them. Like, if this was Roman Reigns instead of Kofi, you'd pour everything into him. You'd be doing everything in your power to make sure he's over.
Or Shane.
Or Shane, yep.
Who beat the Usos this week.
Yep, absolutely. So it's... you're not pushing the right guys. You're not giving them the legitimate chance to be major players. Because if Kofi came out of this looking really strong, and say the turn does happen and KO turns on Kofi and takes the title off of him, then you've suddenly got a blood feud between those two, or you've got a decent feud between those two, and Kofi looks better, because then you can be like, oh, Kofi had a good run with the title. All right, let's keep moving forward. And then you can give KO a big win that helps push him forward. But instead, you're getting something cool, and it will continue to be cool. And it's... You're not generating any heat for anyone right now except Shane and Roman.
Yeah, like, Shane's... And I gotta say, too, like, I hate the way The Miz is getting booked. I hate Super Miz.
Yeah.
Like, Super Miz... I'm someone that's a fan of The Miz, but, like, Super Miz... And there's only one reason he is Super Miz. It's because he's facing a McMahon.
Yep.
That's the only reason that he is. And I will say, with the wild card rule, I did think it worked to a certain degree this week in a way of Ricochet coming out, because it was kind of a surprise when he ran down when Andrade was climbing the ladder. For that example, it's like, okay, that kind of works. But it's also still like, it's just so much better to have the brand separated and for you to care more, too. I think it also hurts someone like Kofi when so many different people are on SmackDown now, too, right? You see all these different main, like, you can see AJ, and you can see Joe, and you can see Strowman, maybe. It's like, this should be Kofi's show, and it doesn't feel like Kofi's show. Like you said, it feels like Shane's, or The Miz's, or realistically, Roman's show.
Yeah, and absolutely. And it's...
And that's the problem. It should feel like the champion's show. Like, Raw still feels like Seth's show.
Yeah.
Even if Roman shows up, it's still Seth's show. It's kind of like when Punk was the champion on Raw during that point wrestling. It still felt like John Cena or Bradshaw or whoever else was on that show. It never felt like CM Punk's show during his first World Heavyweight title run.
Yeah, and even...
And even when he was the WWE title, it was Cena's show still.
Yeah, it was absolutely still Cena's show. John Laurinaitis and Cena main evented more times than Punk ever did as world champion.
Yeah, that's just...
It's history. It's history constantly repeating itself.
I keep on thinking of Deadpool popping out during just a lot of things lately, especially like Game of Thrones this past week, but WWE too, and just be like, that's just lazy writing. And I know like the writers don't want to be blamed on it, but I still think like a small amount of the blame has to be blamed on them too, because Vince is showing in the past, if good ideas happen, he's willing to give them a chance.
My creative has failed, and creative includes Vince. Creative has failed one of the most talented and diverse rosters you've ever had in history. You've failed every single one of those guys. And sure, some ownership should be on the talent themselves for grabbing that brass ring, but just imagine being a talent where the brass ring constantly gets moved on you. And you don't quite know where that brass ring is. Maybe you get lucky and grab a brass ring at the right time. But I just feel like the goalposts keep getting moved. And you're left going, well, I got to kick a 30-yard field goal. And then suddenly Vince turns it into a 60-yard field goal. And you're like, well, shit. What am I going to do?
That's like when you see the Bray thing. It's like, how long until this is going to be moved away from us? Because you see the Bray thing and you're like, this made it to TV? Like, how did something so cool make it to TV?
Yeah, how did this get okay from Vince? Vince has to be asleep when these segments go on. They have to be like, okay, Vince's nap's on, roll a Bray Wyatt clip.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to some of this stuff. SmackDown and Raw writing teams are now for the same show. They used to be separate, but after the shakeup, they've came together.
I don't like that. You have two different shows. They should feel and look and be
different. And they did. They did feel different. SmackDown felt amazingly different than Raw.
And now you've killed both of them because you didn't give a chance for Raw to stand on its own, and you're taking away both their identities, and now it's just Monday Night Raw and then Monday Night Raw on Tuesdays or Fridays, whenever it's going to air.
Do you think I just saw that Apollo Crews was on Raw, by the way, too, as I'm looking at some videos from this past week. I believe Apollo got drafted to SmackDown, didn't he?
I have no clue. I've lost track.
I'm just saying, if he did, and they just put him in a jobber match as part of the wild card, then right there, that's my point to be like, the wild card literally means nothing. Because the wild card should be used as a surprise. Like, the wild card, in idea, is not a terrible idea. But I knew the way they were going to use it was just going to be like, we want Roman on a show for ratings, or we want Elias on a show for ratings, or Bobby Lashley, or whoever on a show for ratings. Mainly it's just to get Roman to go show to show. Or Charlotte.
Essentially.
That's the main idea. Yeah. Vince wants to have suggestions for everyone, but 99 out of 100 times, the idea you come up with doesn't work. I mean, are we shocked by that?
No.
The entire creative team has pitched to have Raw and SmackDown look completely different from different production different ways of shooting.
Apollo Crews is listed on SmackDown.
Yeah, he was just on Raw in a jobber match against Mojo. Wild card, though. And that to me, you can say like whatever you want about the wild card rule with Roman showing up or Charlotte showing up is one thing. Or like Ricochet randomly showing up on SmackDown this week, or the Usos now having a SmackDown tag title. The Apollo one is the biggest farce of this wildcard rule, right there.
No. Just, I may already be done.
I agree too. Like the writers are right. Like SmackDown Raw should look different. And I said SmackDown looked amazingly different. It wasn't amazingly different, but SmackDown did have a different feel to it than Raw did.
Do you remember the different, I think it was a jib camera that they used, and they got close to the ring and it had that like bouncing back and forth. It had that different feel, and then that's gone away. It's the same show, essentially.
Yeah. Vince, we talked about the NXT stuff with Vince. The writers say he just watches WWE, works out, and is not aware of the real world. We've heard that about Vince for a while.
Yeah.
There's no chance of Vince stepping down. They talked about, you and I talked about this a little bit off air, but just how hard Dana Brooke has been working. And you can definitely notice it. I don't think Dana is the most talented performer. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if she makes one of our worst of the year for performers. But I can't say she doesn't work her ass off.
Yeah, that's why she's in the women's Money in the Bank.
they talked about how awkward it is to be around Dana Warrior.
Let's just sidestep that one completely.
This one's interesting. WWE Fox contract prohibits Fox from moving him to FS1.
I'd like to get some more confirmation on it, but that's a big deal. That's a safety net for Vince.
Wait, we had heard some stuff that if the ratings dropped below a certain mark, they'd be taken off entirely, but I never got full confirmation if that was true or not. I'm going to be very interested to see if they use FS1 for anything, whether it's getting like a talking head show or getting like going on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon, or what they're going to do to integrate themselves into the FS1 universe, because you have to imagine some way they're going to be using FS1, especially with the XFL coming in February.
Yeah.
It's a toxic atmosphere, and it's because of one person, obviously Vincent. But do you really... So let's just say Vince... as much as we're criticizing Vince, we are all going to mourn when Vince passes away. But let's say, God forbid, Vince passes away tomorrow. Is that company so drastically different as Stephanie and Hunter are running it as far as a toxic environment?
Well,
drastically different?
I think it would be a gradual change, but you have a lot of Vince's yes men there. I don't think it's just Vince, but I think it's who Vince has put a place around him. I think Bucky is one of them. I think he's.
Would Hunter get rid of him?
There'd be a power struggle. There'd be. It would be very. I imagine it'd be very messy behind the scenes, and I don't think it's a radical change right away. I think it'd be a very gradual change over time, but I imagine that you have to move on from the old guard now. I think that's one of the biggest things, is you can't keep going back to the past for your solutions. I think you need to continue to go to the future and try different things and bring in some fresher, younger people into your company. I think with that, because we've seen how the roster's changed, like Jericho's talked about it, how this young roster behaves and what they're more into. I think the same thing with management needs to happen. I think you need to start bringing in some younger people. I'm not talking like 20-year-olds, but I'm talking people that have experience in wrestling and are getting ready to transition on to the next phase. I think you need to have more of those people come in and be involved. And WWE needs a complete company environment change. They absolutely need personnel changeover for that to change. Because a toxic work environment will... It slowly drives away employees, and we're seeing it now more than ever.
Yeah, I mean, you're again, and it's, and I think that's part of the reason you're amazed when even someone like Nikki Cross, who I kind of liked what I saw from her character this week, like, oh, this Nikki Cross character is very interesting. And we're someone that we have loved Nikki Cross and her NXT stuff. It's like, well, how long did they mess it up? And I think that's not just that there's already a toxic environment in the back, but I also think there's a toxic environment for fans now, because you shouldn't think that of a show. Like, I know there's a lot of backlash in Game of Thrones or like any TV show at times, especially Game of Thrones, but I'm not constantly watching the season of Game of Thrones like, how are they going to mess this up? Even though it's been disappointing, I'm starting to get to that point now, but you should not be watching your show or your product being like, how are they going to mess this up? Which anytime anything good happens, whether it be AJ and Seth, whether Brie this Brie thing, Nikki Cross, for an example, it's like, how are they going to mess this up? Even the Mojo thing, you and I were like, oh, this is interesting, ... How are they going to mess this up?
Yeah. It's gotten to that point.
So, like I said, like, it's not just toxic for the backstage, it's toxic for the fans. People have talked about how awesome it is to work with Bruce Pritchard, that he's a good guy. You can tell on podcasts that he seems like a great guy. Shane, Hunter, and Steph have tried to talk to Vince about stuff, but it never works.
That's a bad sign. That's a really bad sign.
Oh, you're not listening to your daughter or your son, even? Like, we know he's not going to listen to Hunter. I get it. It's whatever. But, I mean, you should respect Hunter. He literally built a business that is doing better than your main product at times.
Yeah.
But I think he doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't. He wanted NXT to fail.
I think he just kind of threw Hunter a bone and was like, yeah, he'll fail it, whatever. This one sucks. The people on the writing staff say they listen to podcasts and they hear the fans bash them and it breaks their hearts.
Sorry.
Sami Zayn, that the character's not Sami Zayn, that it's Vince McMahon talking through Sami Zayn.
I can see that.
Andrade, Vince says that he needs to learn English. Despite Fox wanting Andrade to be on Thursday SmackDown originally because they want to cater to their Hispanic audience.
I don't know what to say.
The writers talked about how much they love when there was a real brand split, and again, I think as fans, we can both agree with that as well.
Yeah.
It just was better, and things meant more, and you can spread the characters out. The worst part about this wild card rule is, too, is now someone that would have had that airtime on Raw aren't going to get that airtime on Raw because Roman Reigns is going to be on Raw.
Or Kofi or KO or Sammy or someone someone else is going to get airtime when you're like...
Ugh. Robert Roode, who built this new character, a guy like him, he's going to lose time, right? Yeah. It's building a character, a guy like Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy, who just went to SmackDown. Now he's going to lose time because AJ came over to SmackDown. This is why I wanted a brand slip, because you got to build and find new characters. I don't think Sammy would have been able to find himself as much as he kind of did without the brand split and having that run on SmackDown to really grow himself as a different character.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many more benefits to having a thinner roster on the shows, but doesn't matter. We're going back to bloated shows.
And then just kind of the last part, that he did the Revival Uso storyline. Like, it's not for punishment or anything. It's just because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then people think Road Dogg will go to AEW, eventually join Billy Gunn. I personally think it'll be more Arn and Dean Malenko.
It's going to be really interesting.
I don't see Road Dogg going there personally. Do you?
I don't know.
So there it is. It's just a lot of negative stuff, and it kind of ties into everything that's happened these past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Really, the wild card rule is the center of it, and messing around with the brand split.
Yeah. On positive news, this is breaking news, but Sean Spears, or Ty Dillinger, as he's commonly known to WWE fans, and Tyler Breeze are opening their own wrestling school in Florida.
Exciting.
Yeah. So he's taking the knowledge from Lance, and he's going to be passing it along his own way.
That's not too bad. We got a Sean Spear reference on BTE this week.
We did.
So maybe that's a sign. I think we know how close him and Kofi are. Cody. All right, it's getting late. We know how close him and Cody are. So that's a sign of things to come, I think, with him being there.
Yeah. I know you don't want to overload the roster, and actually someone broke it down. Just over 60% of the roster has never appeared on WWE television, like Raw or SmackDown. For AEW.
Are those like people... Oh, for AEW.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, eh? I mean, just a bunch technically of... the Bucks have been.
Yeah.
Technically.
They weren't included on that list.
Yeah. So, and did Kenny ever like have a jobber match or anything?
No, he was only OVW, so he doesn't count.
Money in the Bank has 11 matches, Joel.
Yep.
Oh my god.
What? You want to run Jerome?
Yeah, so it's not even for the SmackDown tag titles yet, officially. It's just a tag match. Brian and Rowan versus Usos, tag team match. Not even for the SmackDown tag titles. Oh. Sure.
The Planet's champions are winning.
I have the Usos winning because they lost, so they have to get their win back. 50-50 company, 50-50 booking.
That's true.
Tony Nese versus Aria Davari for the Cruiserweight title. Should be a fun match.
I think Nese would probably win.
Yeah, I really like Tony Nese. United States title, Samoa Joe versus Rey. I'm assuming this is where the Dominic stuff gets involved. But yeah, Rey.
Yeah.
Dominic Shane.
Dominic will turn on Rey and reveal an Eddie Guerrero t-shirt.
Well, that'd be amazing. Miz versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage match.
Shane's going to win, so.
Wouldn't the Miz win, though, because Shane won a Mania?
But he's a McMahon, goddammit.
I know. I'm going to go with the Miz on that one.
Or is Roman going to come out? Is Roman going to come out and help The Miz?
Good. Well, he has his match with Elias.
That's true.
Roman wins that.
Yes, Elias is going to lose.
Okay, let's get to Becky versus Lacey Evans.
Becky.
Yes, and then Becky versus Charlotte.
Becky, but I have a funny feeling it's going to be Charlotte, because Lacey's... whichever match happens first, that's going to dictate the second outcome, and then it's whoever lost, like if it's Charlotte or Lacey, beat whoever Becky beats first, whether it's Lacey or Charlotte, they're going to cost Becky the title, and then that's going to continue this endless loop of Becky Lynch versus a blonde woman.
I have Becky winning both matches, and I think Lacey and Charlotte are going to form a tag team.
Possibly.
Yeah. Because that video on the two of them on YouTube did 2 million views. It's the only video from Raw SmackDown, I believe, that did 2 million views this week. Well, I think the one Strowman one may have, but they, as much as they hate that the YouTube videos are on there taking away from the ratings, they do look at stuff when, sometimes when it matters for their benefit.
Yeah.
And the Iconics aren't anywhere on this card. So shows another reason why why Sasha needs to be pissed off, right?
Yeah.
Kofi versus KO.
Kofi wins, but it's going to be some fluky win, and they're just not going to build Kofi as a legitimate champion.
Kofi wins, but he's losing by Saudi.
Yeah.
Or in Saudi to Roman, potentially. Because Kevin Owens won't go to Saudi Arabia because he's Canadian.
Yeah, I imagine
that's
that.
That's the only reason I don't have KO winning the title. I would have KO winning the title, but he can't. I don't think he can go to Saudi Arabia, right? So
I don't know if that's still in effect or not. I have no idea.
He was at the Greatest Royal Rumble. I just know the Canada stuff happened
after,
later on. Yeah, so that's why I don't know. We know Sammy's not going to be there.
No.
Okay, I have Kofi winning there. Do you think the Money in the Bank affects that Kofi won at all? Should I have done those Money in the Banks first?
No.
Okay, the women's Money in the Bank. If this affects Charlotte's and Becky's match or Lacey one, you can let me know too. But we have Natty, Dana Brooke, Naomi, Bliss, Bayley, Mandy Rose, Ember Moon, Carmella.
I would go with, well, because they kind of planted those seeds where Becky's been trying to goad Bayley into a match. I wonder if they put this on Bayley, but that would mean WWE's being creative and doing something interesting, which...
And correct.
Yeah. This will probably go to Bliss, Rose, or Carmella.
I'm going to say Dana Brooke.
That's absolutely another option, but I think he'll probably end up going to Bliss. Though they had her stand tall, so maybe
that's why I don't. That's my guess is either Dana Brooke or Mandy.
Yeah. Or Charlotte inserts herself into this because Vince comes out and says this match is missing Charlotte Flair.
I am rooting for Bayley to win it personally. I'd like Bayley to get a chance. I don't know what that means as far as Sasha goes. I would put that as a small asterisk that someone here gets attacked, potentially might pick the win, Dana, and that Sasha inserts herself as a surprise entry. Don't want to completely rule that out.
That's entirely possible.
And if that happens, then Sasha wins Money in the Bank, which was the original plan.
That'd be good.
The men, Sammy, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Corbin, Ali, Finn, Andrade, Randy Orton.
You ready for Baron Corbin to win this?
Again?
Yep.
So in my heart, I obviously want Ricochet or Finn to win this. It's the best overall for Andrade. I think Andrade needs it the most.
I've heard rumors that Andrade is going to feud with Finn.
Okay.
That's not a bad program either.
Do they just The interesting thing is, as much as they had Ricochet lose to Corbin, do they just rocket strap for once and do the right thing and put it on Ricochet?
No.
Of course they don't. So it's McIntyre.
It could be McIntyre. That's not a terrible thing either, McIntyre. But
no, McIntyre I'm fine with. It's Sammy or Ricochet make the best sense to me. Sammy's character right now is working.
I think it could be Sammy. I think...
Or does Strowman destroy him, though?
Yeah, that's my other fear, because... That'd be funny. I think it's Corbin. I think it's Corbin or McIntyre. But it could also be Sammy. I think Sammy's the right call, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I will say, as bad as this wild card rule is and the builds have been, it's actually a decent card. It's the frustrating thing about this. It's about the frustrating thing about this company. It's like, oh, this is actually a really good card. Like, the worst match is probably Becky and Lacey. Like, it's a good card.
The cage match is probably going to suck.
Yeah, that could suck too. But Shane does his plunder, and we'll have something we talk about. And then the main event, I would say the main event, Seth and AJ, which I have high expectations for. It's just, again, like,
Baron Corbin comes out, cashes in, and makes it a triple threat.
I see Seth retaining. This is going to go a little bit.
Who was advertised? I think, who was Seth facing? Seth was advertised to face someone. Now I gotta try.
In Saudi to... or?
It was a house show circuit.
Mm. By the way, Money in the Bank, great poster they have with Becky.
Yes, yes. Oh, so for Extreme Rules, it is advertised as Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin in a tables match for the Universal title, and it's Roman versus Randy.
Oh my god. So what you're saying is enjoy Money in the Bank because it's all downhill from here?
And then it's AJ and Drew.
It's not terrible.
No, no. But you remember when the Shield broke up? Who was Roman's first big feud?
Who was that?
Randy Orton.
Oh, it was Randy. Right. Yeah, and Randy's facing Triple H in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I think Seth retains as well, and then Corbin cashes in.
Yep. I mean, if you're going to do something with Corbin, do it. You beat Kurt Angle. It was the right thing to do. If you're going to push him, fucking do it. It's the wrong decision. He's already clinched my worst wrestler of the year.
He's not terrible, but here's the thing. He's not terrible, but he's in the wrong spot. He's not main event. He's mid-card. And they're treating him like a main eventer when he really should be a mid-card guy. And we're all suffering for it.
Yeah, so there it is. Anything else, Joel, before we get out of here?
I got nothing.
I'm just double-checking my stuff really quickly
here.
Oh,
there is one last thing. This...
Oh, Leo Rush was removed from all WWE social media.
Well, no, he removed all WWE from his social media.
Mm.
So.
And Earl Hebner's with AEW.
So WWE took a stance against Lars Sullivan and fined him $100,000.
Oh my god.
I wish Mo was here to talk about that.
Oh my god. Oh my god. They fined him. Now, I will say this, the interesting thing is Titus O'Neil, who does seem to be a leader of the locker room, and yes, he happens to also be African-American, but was one of the biggest components against Hogan and has never really said anything positive about Hogan, did step up and say, like, it took a lot, and he liked what Lars had to say to the locker room.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. You know, you hear the fine, but I think that's the bigger story of all this is what Titus said, because, yeah, like you said, he is a locker room leader, and I think that's important. I think that's really, really important that Titus said that. Because now, you know, regardless where you stand personally on what Lars said, you've had someone from the locker room say something that the guy is making an honest effort to change. And that's all you can ask for. James Gunn had an interview where he talked about getting fired and then coming back, and he talks about, you know, just getting that opportunity, a second chance to prove that you can change and you can grow. And this is all on Lars now, behind the scenes in the locker room, to prove that he's grown as an adult. To grow
this
as
guy
a
that's gonna be get this like the rocket strap, so he needs to really prove himself.
Yeah. Yep, he's going to be in a really tight spot right now, because he's being positioned as one of the next big guys for Vince, and you don't want to screw it up. You really don't. I don't know how I feel on Lars, but if there are steps taken to change your outlook and have a more positive vibe and not be a bigoted, racist, homophobic, Islamophobic person, then if you can make those steps to change, then good on you.
Mm-hmm. Quickly changing those matches that you had. These are the advertised matches for Extreme Rules that you were talking about. It's Kofi, KO, and Randy. And then the other ones you talked. And then it's Seth and Corbin. And then it's Roman in a handicap match against Shane and Elias. And then AJ and Drew, like you were saying.
Yay. Roman versus McMahon's.
And we should also bring, so yeah, the Lars stuff, we'll see how that falls out. And we should talk about Sheamus really quick before we get out of here.
Both, before we get there, Drew and someone else denied that he's retiring.
Okay.
So, I don't know where this is going. This is going to be very interesting. Sheamus has been off TV for...
Drew's one of his best friends.
Yeah. He's been off since the night after for SmackDown. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm very interested to see where this goes. We know he has spinal stenosis, and that ended both Austin's and someone else's career.
Edge's. Edge.
Yes. So, he's a ticking time bomb. So, I honestly hope Sheamus does the right thing for his health, whatever that is. Whatever the doctors tell him he has to do, whether if he's got the clear to wrestle or if he's got to hang him up, he's got to do right by that.
And I hate to end on a somber note, but I guess we should talk about Silver King as well.
Yes,
and his unfortunate passing, collapsing in the ring. And because of this, I mean, the one, I even hesitate to say bright spot, but AEW and MLW referees will be undergoing CPR training after what happened with him and him collapsing in the middle of the ring. So it's really, really, he played Ramses at Nacho Libre.
Yeah.
Did not know that. So that's, yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a damn shame, and that video circulating is just one of those things where you're like, oh god,
this is I want to watch it. I had no interest.
No, I didn't see it. You just sit there and think that that guy's last moments are in ring. You think of like these camera phones, and they're great. I love using them, but in moments like that, you're like, oh, I wish we didn't have them. Just imagine having these camera phones for Owen. Or for draws, yeah. Or for any number of things that have happened over the last little bit here. Just imagine having camera phones that can have take pictures and videos of everything that like that. That would be haunting.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and we here at One Falls send our deepest condolences to him, his family, and friends.
Yeah, it's never easy when something like that happens, especially when it's in ring and it's. It doesn't matter where it happens. It sucks.
Yeah, there's no easy way to move on from that, but we will end our podcast. Everyone, thank you for listening, and until next time, cheers, and enjoy the AV.
Goodbye! And good night!